Good afternoon, brethren. Today I'd like to speak about the subject of going on to perfection. Now, when we look at Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, we read the requirements for going on to perfection. We need to go beyond the foundation doctrines, which include repentance from dead works, faith toward God, baptisms, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. Of course, all of these basic doctrines are very important. But the Apostle Paul, he wanted the members he was writing to go on to perfection, not remaining at the level of the foundational doctrines. So what does it mean to go on to perfection? Especially they, as along with us, at times have sinned and do sin. How could they or we be perfect? Just four simple words that we read. Go on to perfection. So what does going on to perfection actually mean? Does perfection mean without a flaw, without sin? Because when we read 1 John chapter 4 verse 8, that's 1 John chapter 4 verse 8, we read, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So becoming perfect does not necessarily mean totally without sin. Even Jesus Christ, who never sinned, was made perfect by the things he suffered. So what does this word perfect mean? What does it mean in English? We know what it means in English. We think of something that is perfect, something like that has no flaws whatsoever. Like a perfect diamond, which has no visible flaws, and it's called flawless. And yes, the Greek can certainly mean perfect, in the sense of being totally without sin. As we read in Matthew 5:48, therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. But oftentimes the Greek can have other meanings. This shows that translating from one language to another is more of an art than a science. It's not possible just to replace one Greek word with one English word. In the Greek, there are a number of words that all mean very similar things, but basically they all mean completeness, of full age, mature, fulfill, make perfect, to the end, and the conclusion of an act or state, the result, reaching the required result. So Hebrews 6, chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, can equally mean to accomplish what God requires of us to achieve. Something quite simple, really. Now, there are a number of examples of this process. The first I would like us to look at is the one immediately before this, in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 to 14. That's Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 to 14. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you, again, the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. They had been in the church long enough that by this time they should have been in a position to help others. But now they needed actually to have someone take them back through the basics so they could really understand them. The basics were the things that they should have been grounded in soon after their conversion. It's like their digestion could not take solid food, but just like in a baby, can't take solid food, only milk. In verse 13, we read, "For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." He is saying that if they are still using milk, it's because they don't have experience in really using God's word. God's word was given to us as a means of being able to distinguish between what's appropriate and what's not appropriate in our conduct, of being able to regulate our lives in these areas. And now looking at verse 14, But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, those who are mature. The word mature in the Greek language is the same word as perfect. It is teleos, which can be translated as full age, complete, perfect. The word is derived from telos, meaning to reach a goal, to head for a definite limit or a conclusion. Continuing in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, that's Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. These Hebrews by now should have been of full age, people who have been using their mind. Now, God gave them a mind, and they should have been utilizing their mind, empowered by God's Holy Spirit, so they could evaluate what they hear, see, and experience in life, in life's situations, and to compare it with the Scriptures. They would then be able to develop a spiritual maturity and a spiritual mind. We could compare this with the carnal mind, which looks for loopholes, like, what's in this for me? What don't I have to do? What trouble will I get into if I don't do this? What will they do if they find out what I haven't or what I have done? This attitude is carnal, very carnal, not spiritually minded. A spiritually minded approach is a matter of searching the Scriptures and trying to understand what the will of God is. What would God have us do? Now, he gives us many examples, but we have to extrapolate from those examples to understand more fully the mind of God. You could compare this with a recent graduate from university starting employment. In fact, when they graduate, they have a commencement ceremony, a beginning ceremony. So when they've graduated, they are just beginning to having to learn on the job. As they mature, they take on more responsibilities and finally are able to help and teach others, other new graduates. This is what Paul is telling the Hebrews. We should also live this way, studying the Scriptures and applying them in our lives, in every aspect of our lives, our family, our job, our relationships with neighbours, and in our day-to-day life. Over a period of years, we ought to develop that mature experience that God is talking about here. A part of the reason God gives us the ministry, as is mentioned in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13. That's Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And reading verse 15 in the same chapter, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into all things unto him who is the head, Christ. Here again, a perfect man is a complete spiritual developed man, a spiritually mature man, continuing on from the foundation. We should also look at the example of Jesus Christ. We read of him in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. That's Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. And continuing in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, that's Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, we similarly read, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. So here we read Jesus Christ was made perfect or perfected. How is that possible, since he had never sinned? Never in his existence had he ever sinned. Again, it all boils down to the meaning of the Greek word. It can mean to reach a predetermined goal, to fully accomplish a required result. So before he came to earth as a man, he was a creator of the whole universe, including all of us. But when he suffered and died, he then became the author of eternal salvation for us. He learned how to remain totally obedient to his Father, no matter how much he suffered, something he had never been through before. It was a new experience for him. So when we read that he was perfected, it means he had finished the part of the work that God had given him to do. And that work was to raise a church and to die for all mankind. He had reached the predetermined goal. He had accomplished the required result. It was always a part of God's plan that Jesus Christ would be our Saviour, but this was when the plan was brought to reality. As Paul said in Hebrews, he had gone on to perfection, or to completeness of the task set before him. Likewise, we are to go on to perfection in maturing spiritually and preparing to rule and teach in God's kingdom. That's where it says we are to be priests and kings, ruling over the world. We must continue until our part is completed, and what is required of us is known by God. And it can be different for each one of us, as God has determined. Each of us in this life has a predetermined role, and God knows what that is. We may not understand it, but we learn as we go. It's not like the ways of the world. Some people in the world who are employed to go to work, they begin at a set time and finish at a set time. They work their shift to then go home, even if the job could be completed with just a few minutes extra work. They may only do what they have to and no more. So this is not how we are to be if we are to please God. Personally, I cannot say that I have passed my retirement age. Actually, I have retired. So now I'll just drift along until Christ returns. He requires me to continue doing my part of his work until he determines it is enough, which will happen either with the return of Christ or at my resurrection. So God wants us to go on from the foundational doctrines to spiritual maturity, to completeness, to fulfill the purpose God has set for us. In other words, going on to perfection, to complete the purpose God has given us. And part of that, a great part, is to develop God's character in our lives so he can share his life with us in his family forever. We will not be without sin, although we should have much less as we progress. But this perfection that we are to achieve is to fulfill God's will in our lives.